Well, good morning, everyone. I'm glad to see everybody's face here today. This is awesome. It's been obviously a long time, and we still have quite a journey ahead of us, I guess, with this quarantine stuff. So I think today we're definitely going to be praying about that and some other things among what we have on our agenda. Happy Father's Day, though, to everyone. Hopefully it's a good one for you and for those watching online today, later on today. Hopefully you've had a blessed day so far. And now I want to start off with a little bit of a lighter story, just because it's been a while since I've talked in front of people. I've been talking in front of a camera for the last little bit, which is very strange, let me tell you. But today I want to just tell you a funny story about something I attempted while on quarantine here in the church. So one day, I'm prepping to do my fantastic sermon for Thursday. I usually did them on, and I went to the facilities beforehand, and unfortunately, when I did that, the urinal got a little jammed up there, and it just kept running and flowing. So I was like, well, I don't have time for this right now, and we're on well water, so I'm like, I'll just let that continue to run, and I'll go do my sermon, come back out and finish it. So I do my sermon, finish it up. They take like, what, half hour usually? And then I head back to the urinal to check it out. It's still flowing. I was like, crap, it didn't fix itself on its own. So that's not fun. I was really kind of hoping it was going to do that. It did not. So we have no tools at the church here. I had to go home. And I came back with some tools. Michelle and the kids were here. And I'm like, I've got this. I've Googled how to do this. I've seen one video, done. It's game over, no problem. I unscrew the one piece that the video asked for to unscrew, and the bolt launched out at me, as with a ton of water, and I almost drowned as I'm trying to get this urinal fixed. And I'm quickly scrambling to get this piece back in, and it's not working. So it's just flowing out at me nonstop. I'm absolutely soaked and covered in this fantastic well water and just having a nightmare. I finally got it on, but there was a ton of water in there. It took me a good, what was it, like 45 minutes to an hour to clean up. It was bad news bears, so that was a disaster. Don't call me if you need any house repairs, apparently. I really showed my cards in that moment of being the least handy person I know. Not good. One quick announcement to make as we gather here today, maybe for those of you online. We are doing a love offering for Stephen. He was interning here, as you remember. We're gonna extend that time till July 19th. So if you can get a love offering for Stephen by July 19th, that'd be fantastic. He came here, he worked hard. It's part of our contractual agreement with Ambrose, is that we have a love offering for him. And obviously with things going down the way they did, we haven't had a chance to do that for him. So now's our chance to do it, now that we're open a little bit more here in the province of Alberta. So there's a basket at the back there. You'll see it's kind of, if you're bringing your tithes and stuff, that's awesome. There's one there for that too, but there's one behind it for Stephen, and just wanting to bless him for all the work that he poured in here, all the love that he gave everybody here. So if you can do that by July 19th, that'd be fantastic. Then there's also, I believe, cards. So we have like a station over there if for cards and stuff, if you want to write something, make sure you wipe it down and everything, and you just write a blessed note, even if at this time you can't contribute to a love offering. If you could do that, that'd be amazing, and we just want to send him some love during this time. People online, you can just drop in anytime the church is open. We'll wipe down the areas and stuff and make sure that you can just hand it in or whatever, bring in your own notes or whatever. So that's that. So we are following, as you can notice, some pretty interesting regulations at this point in time. Our district has really promoted this and wants us to adhere to kind of the AHS standards, so we're definitely following through with that. And I know it's tough for some of us, and it's easy for some of us. So, you know, if we could just respect each other and remember that just We all have different perspectives on things and to love on it and love on one another during this difficult time. So I want to pray today, obviously, for healing of COVID. And also I want to pray for just unity at this point in time, as obviously there's some pretty intense struggles in this world with regards to racial issues and such. So we just want to pray for that. And we really need Jesus to work in this world right now and to reach people. It's quite a time right now. Did anybody have anything that they wanted to bring forward for Thanksgiving at this time as a praise and prayer item? Or maybe healing? No? That's fantastic. Yeah. Oh, excellent. Right on. So Tyler's dad is home from the hospital. We've been praying for him for some time beforehand, and it's good to hear that he's back at home now, and he's semi-mobile with canes and such. So definitely a praise item there, and we'll continue to pray for restoration of his body as well at this time. All right. And if you guys online, if you have anything to be thankful for, you can send an email to me or Stephanie, and we'll definitely pray for it up front here as well. So, Father, we come to you today, and we thank you for this opportunity to once again see faces that are familiar and faces that we love very much. And we just pray that you bless us as we meet, and that we would stay healthy amidst some of the COVID stuff that's going on right now. And we just pray for the quarantine issues that are occurring, as obviously you know how broken we are right now, and just the alcoholism and the drug abuse that are at an all-time high. Anxieties are at an all-time high, and we just need you, Jesus. So we pray that the churches continue to, as we meet in person, they also meet online, and we have this amazing impact of meeting you in some fashion. And just people who don't know you, Jesus, they turn into these websites, and they turn onto YouTube, they turn into Zoom, and they find you. And we just pray that they find you in a real way. We need you during this time. And we pray for some of the racial tensions in our world right now. And we just pray, Lord, that we see each other as just created beings that are loved by you. We forget about that sometimes, and we get in our own little bubbles and in our own little worlds, and we forget about how you love and you've created each and every one of us. And it doesn't matter what color skin or what gender we are, whatever it happens to be, Lord, you love us so much. And so we pray for your hand to touch our world right now, as these two things have got us in such turmoil and frustration, and anger is boiling out in violence. We pray for you and your Holy Spirit during this time. Amen. So today I wanted to kind of continue the picture of the Acts Church. If you've been following online, we've been kind of dealing with Acts and just how the church kind of got its foothold to start off with. And so we're looking at Acts chapter 2 today. And it's quite the passage that a lot of churches really enjoy, and it's the day of Pentecost comes upon them. So in Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 1, it says this: "When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the other parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they ask one another, 'What does this mean?' Some, however, made fun of them and said, 'They have had too much wine.'" As we read, Acts just gives us a great revelation as to the work of the Holy Spirit. As the Holy Spirit glorifies Jesus Christ in the church and through all those who witness, preach, and teach the gospel. In the first chapter of Acts, we learned that there's a time of preparation for the Holy Spirit. So if you remember, the disciples, we see them kind of obey what Jesus has commanded to them to do as they stayed in Jerusalem. And then they begin to pray, they fellowship with one another, and they read God's word. And at this time, they choose a replacement for Judas Iscariot, the betrayer. In Acts chapter 2 now, we read of the arrival of the Holy Spirit, the one that they had waited for, and Jesus had told them to. It is the fulfillment of Acts chapter 1. The reader, at this point in time, after reading Acts chapter 1, is reminded that the promises that are made in the Gospels and of the Holy Spirit's coming are fulfilled at this time. John R.W. Stott writes this: "In the early chapters of Acts, Luke refers to the promise, the gift, the baptism, the power, and the fullness of the Spirit in the experience of God's people. When we read Acts' version of the Great Commission, we understand that the Holy Spirit plays a major role, and his activity is on high in being witnesses for Jesus Christ. The disciples were then told to go into the world with the gospel message. They then were called to witness to the ministry, the death, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The thing is, they weren't sent into this world on their own strength. Sometimes we kind of approach this angle and we see that we think that we're being sent into this world on our own, but that's not true. You see, if the disciples were sent into the world on their own strength, then there would be a final outcome of zero. Nobody would follow. They were just fishermen. They were tax collectors. They were hated people. But the many believers at Pentecost, they would not have believed Peter without the Holy Spirit working through Peter's message at this time. Like I say, Acts 2, it's a promise that's fulfilled at this point in time. As the advocate, the Holy Spirit, makes himself known in such a way, and he arrives in a fashion that opens eyes and brings awareness. As we read in Acts chapter 2, verse 2 to 3, suddenly a sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. The Holy Spirit, he came upon the disciples as a violent wind and as tongues of fire. Let's look at the violent wind aspect first. You have to think that there's some serious power accompanying the Holy Spirit as he does it in this fashion. And we at times, we tend to downplay the power of the Holy Spirit in kind of our modern church settings here. And we at times go so far as to ignore the Holy Spirit's work in our church. Francis Chan, he wrote a book on this called The Forgotten God and how the modern church actually attempts to avoid him or just ignore the Holy Spirit completely. I pray that we as a church, that we never leave or forget the Holy Spirit when we come together to worship and just when we have our daily experience. For on this day, for Acts chapter 2, he came on this day like a blowing of like a violent wind. And so the importance of what this really means for us in this translation is really kind of lost on us today in kind of the English vernacular. The Bible, as some of you know it, is it's been translated from ancient languages, Hebrew, usually the Old Testament, and Greek, the New Testament. At the time of writing of the New Testament, Latin was also widely spoken. The word for spirit, it was the same word for wind or breath in all three of these languages. Ruah is Hebrew, and pneuma is Greek. Acts chapter 2:2 says that they heard a sound like the blowing of a violent wind. And so if we remember that wind also means spirit, we should see that there's a significance by what is unfolding before us in Acts chapter 2 here. Just look at the words ruah and pneuma. Both mean breathe and spirit, but the pronunciation also causes us to say them in a fashion of kind of breathing as we're doing it. Ruah. Pneuma. So these languages, they're making you say these words with audible breaths. I highly recommend not practicing those words right now as you're sitting, as you know, the moist breathing. We need to keep that in our family clusters, but just, you know, if you're at home, try it. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 and 2 says this, "In the beginning God created the heavens and earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters." And so in English, we actually fall short of what is being presented here. As the Spirit of God hovers over the water, how are you kind of picturing this in your mind? And some of us probably have this nice little picture of the Holy Spirit as a dove hanging out over the waters and such. And that's possible. But is it also possible that the Spirit of God, the breath and wind of God, is hovering over the water at this time? It is his creating, moving, and dynamic breath or wind that is blowing across the waters in the beginning. Think of the power that was used behind the creation and forming of the earth. The Spirit of God was in full effect at this time. And then we read of one chapter later of this divine breath and this creative power as it continues to pour out into Adam, the little dirt clod, as he's formed from dust. Genesis 2:7 says this, "Then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils and the breath of life. And the man became a living being." The breath of God brings life into a lifeless body. Adam, before the breath, was simply dust. Life came when God, the source of life, breathed his divine breath, his agent, the Holy Spirit, into Adam. Adam would then become a living being due to this breath of life. And then we read of Jesus in John chapter 3 as he's having this amazing conversation with Nicodemus. It's quite a huge chunk there, but it's an amazing passage to read about. And Jesus tells Nicodemus that a person needs to be born again, or regenerated, as theologians tend to put it. John chapter 3, verses 3 to 7 say this, "Jesus replied, 'Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless you are born again.' And you should not be surprised by my saying, 'You must be born again.'" A person needs to be born again, Jesus says. And so Nicodemus is a little surprised by Jesus' statement. He's kind of shocked. He doesn't know how to respond to Jesus in John chapter 3, verse 3. And he says this in John 3, 4. "How can someone be born when they are old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born." Jesus explains to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, verse 5 to 8, as he says this, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to the Spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. And sure, poor Nicodemus, he did not immediately understand Jesus here. But we can. You see, if we remember, God breathed life into Adam in Genesis 2. And his breath, it made Adam a living being, a living person. And God's breath, his Spirit, was the agent by which life was given to humanity. And it is here in John 3 that we have God's breath, his Holy Spirit, being the agent for the new life. Our spiritual life, it needs breath. It needs his breath in order to actually happen. A person is saved when God breathes into a person by his Holy Spirit and gives new life, a life that is spiritual. The image of the wind in Jesus' discussion with Nicodemus in John 3, it's not irrelevant, but instead it makes it clear the way that the Holy Spirit works. He is a powerful person. And he leaves changes in everything that he blows upon. Just like a powerful wind. There should be evidence in the change that occurs in every new life that follows Jesus as the Spirit breathes into you. As he continues to sanctify you and make you a new creation. Another occurrence that we see of wind is in Isaiah chapter 2, verse 22. It says this, "Stop trusting in mere humans who have but a breath in their nostrils. Why hold them in esteem?" Isaiah is saying that humanity is only a one-breath creature. We breathe in and we breathe out, but if we stop taking those breaths in and out, what happens to us? I think we all know the answer to that one. Isaiah is saying that we're too concerned with others' perceptions of us and other people's opinions. Stop trusting in humans because humans get it wrong quite often. Trust in God. God always gets it right. God is not a one-breath being. He's the source of all breath. He is the source of all life. Trust in God to give you the breath that you need in order to live spiritually and carry on to the very end. After all, God is wise. And Isaiah is directing people to trust in him, not in humanity. So we need to read Acts 2:2 with this sound like a blowing of a violent wind that came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting, and see these similarities between Genesis 1:1-2 and Isaiah and John, where the Spirit of God is hovering over these newly created waters of the earth, and where he's hovering over the new creation. And see, the amazing thing is that Pentecost, on that day in Acts chapter 2, new creations occurred, as Peter will go on to give quite the sermon after this. And new life was given to those who believed after Peter had preached. The work done by the Spirit on the day of Pentecost was an eternal work. And God's breath was breathed into people once again. A spiritual life was to be found on that day. And this life is still available for each and every one of us. And it's still present with us today as the Holy Spirit is with us as we gather here. Jesus says this in John 3, you must be born again. You must have the breath of the powerful Creator breathed in your nostrils again. This violent wind, it would lead to the disciples gathered being filled with the Holy Spirit. The word filled is used twice here, and as we read that the house in which they gathered was filled, and then eventually the disciples themselves would be filled by the Holy Spirit. Being filled with the Holy Spirit is a distinct event, but it's also a progressive event. And Acts 2 is showing us a distinct event as the disciples are filled in that moment with the Holy Spirit. He came upon them in a special way as he empowered them for the work they had been called to carry out. And we see that there's a manifestation of the gift of tongues in this particular moment. And here's something that I found interesting. The word fullness or filled with the Holy Spirit, it appears 14 times in the New Testament. Four times that occur pre-Pentecost, and one occurs in Ephesians, and the other nine times are occurring in this book of Acts. In each instance in the book of Acts, the people would be filled with the Holy Spirit, and reflexively, their first reactions was what? It was to take the word and witness to Jesus. They immediately testified to Jesus. And when they did that, they found extreme success in their ministering to people around them. You see, the Holy Spirit, God, he's not just about the tongues and miracle. He's not just about prophecies and healing. He's about filling people in a special way. And when he fills people in that special way, it's to bring glory to Jesus Christ. And we forget that sometimes. That was a big problem in the church of Corinth, as all of them were running around. They were so excited about speaking tongues, and they disregarded everybody else. And they forgot that the gifts that the Holy Spirit gave them was to bring glory to Jesus. You see, Acts chapter 2 is not placing emphasis on the gifting of tongues. It's placing emphasis on people hearing about Jesus Christ. And that they were blessed that day to hear about Jesus in their own language. They heard about Jesus. So if you're a spirit-filled person, you need to be demonstrating this by bearing witness to Jesus Christ and bringing glory to him through your giftings. Because spiritual gifts, they're great. And yes, all of them are available to us, even in the modern church here. Some of us say, no, they're not, but they are. And the Holy Spirit distributes them to us. The fruit of the Spirit is such a blessing as well. And yes, it's awesome to show all these amazing attributes and such and show them to other people. Being made pure and being sanctified by the Holy Spirit is a process that we all undertake, and it is awesome. But all of them, they point to Jesus. And all of them point to glorification of Jesus. In Acts chapter 2, verse 3, we read that it talks about tongues of fire that came to rest upon these disciples. And I want us to look at the word fire for a second and the important symbolic nature it has for the presence of God. See, we may be all familiar with the story of the burning bush as Moses encounters God for the first time in this fashion. Abraham would also see God as fire in Genesis 15. As God makes a covenant with Abraham, it starts off with Abraham having this fantastic vision. And Abraham's vision is of God and undertaking this covenant. It's more God giving the covenant to Abraham, if you read it. Abraham doesn't play much role as he's asleep throughout most of it. And it's kind of awesome. But in this vision, they're carrying out an ancient rite of covenant where you'd cut up these animals, these sacrificial animals, and you'd lie them in rows. And then both parties of said covenant would walk in between these rows of animals. And the bloodier it is, the better, really. It kind of brings up the significance of the vow, really, and it makes it more sacred. And in this vision, Abraham, he falls into a deep sleep, and he saw a smoking fire pot with a blazing torch, a symbol of God's presence, pass back and forth between these animals. Genesis 15, 17 reads this: "When the sun had set and darkness had fallen, a smoking fire pot with a blazing torch appeared and passed between the pieces." God showed his power and sovereignty here as he carried this all out literally without Abraham. He was just sleeping. It was Abram, at this time, not Abraham. Soon his name would change to Abraham. God, as he appeared at Mount Sinai, was fire and thunder, and only Moses was permitted to draw near. The Israelites, they were not permitted, as death would follow. Hebrews 12:29 states, "For our God is a consuming fire." Fire is a source of light, and fire and the sun were really the only options for light at this time. They didn't have fancy LED flashlights or, you know, these lights that we have here. And so fire was an amazing source of light. The Holy Spirit, he illuminated these disciples in Acts chapter 2 and in these early church days. And he illuminated their witness and their ministries. He made them lights. And it's through the Holy Spirit that they're easily able to share about Jesus Christ. We forget about that sometimes. We think we're in, like I said earlier, we think we're in this battle by ourselves with, I don't know, I mean, we're weak human beings. We forget that the strongest person around is with us, the Holy Spirit, as he's ready to minister to the people around us. And if you don't think people are ready to hear about Jesus, you're probably not paying attention to this, the news that's going on in this world. You see, at this time, when the disciples are sharing all this stuff, it's a pretty dark time as well. We probably don't realize that. We see movies like Gladiator with Russell Crowe, and sure, it's not the most happy of movies, but it kind of paints the Roman Empire as pretty awesome, with everything fun happening around there, other than the fact that there's people in an arena killing each other. It really glamorizes the time period. A lot of the movies around this time period do that. But there's not much glory for the Roman Empire, as they're carrying out some pretty shady activities. Dig through your history books, because those will reveal the real truth. And then on top of that, we have on top of these movies and other novels, I guess, that some people read. I don't read much fiction. But we have these philosophers that everybody kind of looks towards, and we're like, man, these philosophers are so smart. Plato, Homer, Socrates, they're all just geniuses. And if you actually dig deeper into the philosophers, they didn't have much to say about themselves as well. If you read through Plato's Allegory of the Cave, he just kind of points out how dim philosophers and the whole culture really was at that point in time. But then comes the gospel. Then comes Jesus. And there is light. And people begin to see the world and to see God as they have never seen him before. People see how blind and broken they are without Jesus. And we need more light today. We need more of the Holy Spirit. And we as a church need to invite him and fill our building with his presence. And then we too can be filled like those disciples on an individual level to bring glory to Jesus and to be his witnesses, to be the light. The fire of the Holy Spirit, after all, it's the fire that brings warmth. We forget about that as well sometimes too. If you've ever been camping, which I don't do as much as probably some of you in this building do, but if you've been camping, you know how much fire can bring warmth as that sun sets and you're in like the cold trees and that breeze off the lake and it gets really cold. You're like, ooh, nasty. So you throw more logs in the fire and you get more warmth, more heat in there. The Holy Spirit, as he works, he brings warmth and of the heart, and people should be taking notice of this. We should be taking notice of it when the Holy Spirit is working in our hearts. John Wesley writes of an experience he had at Aldersgate in London, and he says, "My heart was strangely warmed." See, the world is not just dark, but it's also cold. God, the one who created us, the one whom for our heart longs, the one whose image we're made, he draws us near and he provides warmth for us. Christianity, it's to be a flame that spreads. If your gospel message is not spreading light and it's not a warm message, you may want to check who is guiding your message today. Luke chapter 12, verse 49, Jesus says, "I have come to bring fire on the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled." Matthew chapter 3, verse 11, John the Baptist says this about Jesus, "I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me comes one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." Jesus' fire is one that is to sweep the whole world. And I think of how right now the church has one of the greatest online presence it has ever had before. And when you really think through this tragedy of COVID-19 and the quarantine and the other stuff that's following and behind right now, God is trying to light his fire again in each and every one of us. And he wants people to embrace the Holy Spirit and allow him to work through us. Allow his fire and light to be what dominates our world. Matthew chapter 24, verse 14 says this, "And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come." And then the end will come when we preach it all. We have a duty to fulfill. We have the Holy Spirit filling us to carry out that message. I'm not going to claim to be the smartest guy when it comes to this pandemic, when it comes to the racial tensions right now. I don't really know what to think of it. You see, I started off initially overreacting, as you know, we thought about Isaiah. And so we just went into like an immediate bubble. And then later on, I wandered into this dangerous place of just being like, conspiracy this, conspiracy that. But I was thankful the other day to have a reminder from Joel, as he just rightfully pointed out that people are dying from this. In that moment, the Holy Spirit convicted me and grabbed a hold of me. Said, "You need to start being warm again. You need to start spreading the light during this time. You need to do it now more than ever. During a time when there's people, like I say, that are stuck in abuse of alcohol, in abuse of drugs, anxious as they're all alone and they have no one to turn to. There are people that were for months literally isolating in their apartment building with nobody to talk to. Divorce is at an all-time high, which is odd because it's all being done online. Suicides are starting to become rampant and a problem. Clearly, the church, we the people in the church, need to be that warm light during this time. We need to share with the whole world. We need to find creative ways to do it. We need to find ways to let our neighbors know that they are loved through simple messages, through whatever it takes. We are strengthened by the Holy Spirit. We are strengthened by the one that came blowing like a violent wind and with tongues of fire. See, Jesus had told his disciples that this was going to happen. He said that the Holy Spirit was going to come. And we read in Acts chapter 2, verses 9 to 11, of how many people it actually reached in that one instance. The Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, the residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. People from all over the world began to hear about Jesus from these disciples. These disciples, they were not scholars or theologians, as most were just fishermen. They spread out the glory of Jesus like a wildfire, though. Elton Trueblood writes about the character and company of those who are filled by the Holy Spirit in his book, The Incendiary Fellowship. Incendiary means set ablaze. It refers to Christians themselves, but incendiary also means the act of setting other people ablaze. It refers to those in whom the fire of the Holy Spirit is so intense and so meaningful that they just cannot keep the message of the Spirit to themselves. So they speak of Jesus. And as a result, here and there, little fires spring up, and pretty soon there's a great raging fire of revival that spreads across the world. Let us continue to spread this fire throughout the world. You know, we may not have that fire stoked up in the greatest fashion at this moment right now, but there's a fire still. The Holy Spirit is working, and we need to be a part of that working, and we need to see those flames spread throughout our communities, our city, our country, our world. Our world is starved for his all-consuming fire. I'm going to pray now. And afterwards, I'll give a quick benediction. And then we'll do like a kind of like a school dismissal, I guess, where I'll be like, all right, this section can go. And then this section, so if you guys don't mind doing that, that'd be muchly appreciated. Like I say, I don't have the answers to this COVID stuff. I just don't. I'm not a doctor. The doctors don't even seem to know at this moment, unfortunately, because it's such an unknown new thing. But I want us to take safe steps and love those who have different perspectives than we do. So If you don't mind indulging on leaving in that fashion, that'd be muchly appreciated. Try not to, this is going to sound weird, try not to congregate much outside unless you distance. It's just a suggestion. There are my family, we're usually pretty good at socializing with people. We're good with it. But there may be some that are uncomfortable with that. And we want to, like I say, we want to be respectful and bless those that feel that way. So if you're going to kind of do the talk thing outside, I don't know if it's still raining or not, but just distance, right? Just distance. And don't carpool the restaurants. That's going to get churches in trouble and such. And you know, there's a lot of rules for church stuff. I'm sure some of them have popped up there during the welcome stuff. A lot of them are very suggestive, but if we don't follow through on them, those suggestions will get us a big hand slap. And so we just want to be aware of them. Our district wants us to be aware of them and to follow through with them. So thank you. I'm going to pray. And like I say, I've got a little benediction, and then we'll probably, I'll dismiss the Aldens first. I feel like a teacher at this point in time, you know. Wow. Father, we thank you for just your word, and we just want to know more of you. We want to learn more about you. We want to be filled with your presence, Lord. Allow your Holy Spirit to come into this church and to fill us, fill our church, fill us individually during this time, we pray. We pray for your wind. We pray for your fire. And we pray that we become like that, one of those hillside fires when it's dusty and windy and it just ignites everything around. And that we are the church and the community and the individual that reaches out to those people that need you right now. Father, be with us. Keep us healthy. Keep us loving. And keep us sane, because I'm sure some of us the mothers out there are just kind of done with their kids. So we just pray for sanity there. And we just want to bless the fathers today on this day, as it's Father's Day. Be with them. Let their children tell their dads how great they are and how much they love them, as I know I love my dad. So we pray this all in your name, Jesus. Amen. It's kind of awesome that Joel sang the blessing song, because that's the passage that I have for you, and that comes from Numbers chapter 6, verse 24. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. And may you have that today. And as you go out there, do your thing, have fun. I just pray that you remember to love people. And if you don't mind, do something nice for Stephen. Write him a note, love offering. If you're able to give at this time to him, that would be amazing. And have a great week. All of them, family. You.